You're doing all the right things, like eating clean and staying active, but nearly all of us are still missing a key piece, minerals. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's not getting, supporting mood, energy, immunity, and nervous system balance. It's made from ionic trace minerals your body actually absorbs and comes in three delicious flavors, blue raspberry, blue Hawaiian, and blue acai. Because your body can't make minerals and modern food and water don't supply enough, start with minerals. Start with Concentrace. Find it now at TraceMinerals.com.
I didn't think I was going to get through this, but maybe I will.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 22, All This and Mary Too. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Episode 22, that must mean it's the season finale. JK, there are 7,000 episodes this season. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. 22 is my lucky number, or it was.
Thank you to everyone who bore with us last week. Sarah is now done moving, so we are back to our twice a week schedule.
Woohoo.
And before we start, I'm going to kick it over to Dave for some site biz.
I just wanted to say that if you were following the Dave's Derby donation drive contest, there was an Again With This winner. It did win the popular vote, I think just because all the other things were for Extra Hot Great and it split the vote. So, Tara, can you explain what I have to do and when I'm going to be doing it?
Yeah, Dave has been ordered to watch one of the Tara Street Child episodes of Beverly Hills.
I don't know what that means.
No, and
I don't
want to
know
what it is.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up. It'll be, if you know anything about the storyline, which out of these episodes we had to choose for him. So when it's coming up, we'll let you know that it's imminent. It's not this week.
And the segment was that I have to be a full participant in the episode.
Yes. It's the one where she gets a makeover to look like Kelly. It is coming up. So look forward to that. Dave will actually be paying attention and active in that episode. And other site business, Dave.
Just that the shirts will be coming back. Currently, as of recording, I have taken everything offline so I can retool it due to American Apparel going out of business, which is most of our shirts were on. They're all just now basically disappearing from the stock shelves. So I am replacing those with other shirts, and hopefully the ones attached to this podcast will be up in a day or two.
All right.
On with the show.
Indeed. Sarah, are you ready?
I know, but
all
let's
right.
do it anyway.
We have no choice. Let us start with our C story, Joe's stupid heart. How many times will I have to type that? So many. A dumb conversation about stock Nat bought in a company that grows ears on rats' backs because it is the 90s gives way to Donna paying attention to a news report about athletes and heart conditions. And when Joe lets himself into her apartment later, she's on the phone with the TV station trying to get more information.
Chili's, ears on rat backs, barbecue sauce.
It's something to do with the thickening of the heart wall in athletes. Who cares? Joe is dubious. No one cares. Later, Donna has Dr. Martin over for dinner to get him on board with whatever nonsense she thinks she's an expert on, and he is not having it in clip number two.
You don't know what you're talking about, Donna.
But I saw it on television.
Oh, well.
They know we're here.
I just love, I saw it on television as if that means anything about anything. I'm not going to say the phrase, but, you know, what people believe on TV these days is rather less than what they used to. FN. Anyway, stick to Barney, sweetheart. She asks why Dr. Martin didn't say anything to Joe about this alleged treatment, and Dr. Martin says it's experimental, and just because a technique's in the news doesn't mean it's available to the public. But she says there's a study at La Jolla, but insurance, blah, protocol, blah. Donna quietly says she'll do anything, and since Dr. Martin can't deny her anything, he asks what Joe thinks. She says Joe doesn't want to get his hopes up, but Dr. Martin says that Joe is right. But is that actually what he thinks? Clip number three.
I'm going to make this happen, Daddy.
And I'm going to do everything I can to help you. And yes, yes, I will call the chief of surgery over at Scripps.
I'd hoped you'd say that.
Why did we go through all this? If he was just going to give in anyway, also calling him daddy is how you can really tell you're having an adult conversation.
Also HIPAA. Also, Joe is so depressed that he's not even shampooing his hair. You will see in the visual aids. Like, this whole storyline is so stupid. And I don't know, like, maybe save the full court medical intervention press for when you're actually boning the guy.
Maybe. Also, like, I don't know. I mean, this is just another case where, like, the season was X number of episodes long. And so, you know, one episode of content was stretched over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, it's still going to be this boring next week, but whatever. The next day, Jonna brings Joe to church to pray for his life. No, literally. No one has looked more less confident making the sign of the cross than Tori Spelling, by the way. I know she's not Catholic, but, like, watch a video, ask a Catholic friend. Like, it's,
she looks like she's voguing. Like,
she does.
Like, if there is supposed to be some tension in the wrist, I think.
Yeah,
that's what she said. Where?
Yeah, I tweeted it last week with praying for my haters like Donna meets sign of the cross. Anyway, it's also in the visual aids, and then this happens. Clip four.
Dear God, this is a big deal. Even though he doesn't think so. So I hope that you can hear me. Joe has something wrong with his heart. But you probably already knew that. He wants to play football, and the doctors think there may be something they can do to help him. But I know that without your help, that's not possible. So, if there's anything you can do, would you help us out here, please? Amen.
Thank you, Afterbirth Podcast Sound Drop. Please listen to our Afterbirth Podcast about Call the Midwife. Go ahead, Sarah.
I really wish I had listened to that instead of having to watch this stupid episode in which Donna delivered a prayer in the form of an oral report.
FYI, God, here's what's going on with me. Like, God's like, I know, I'm aware, but I'm God.
Here's a menstrual pad with a belt. Enjoy. Like, what is even happening?
But also the you know, the quick addition of the echo effect or whatever when she's really getting into the prayer. There was like a subtle reverb. It's like, why?
Well, yeah, they are in a huge cavernous church and it's empty, so there would be some, but yes, it does crank up for no good reason.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was connected to the content.
So. Oh boy. So Donna lights a candle and Joe says it's the most wonderful thing anyone's ever done for him. Yikes, if true. He thinks God heard her. She says they'll find out. Moving on, Barfola. Although this is not much better. To our B-plot.
Well, no, there's nobody in LA that actually believes in God, so come on, guys.
No, it's true.
It's a godless town. Full of Jews.
Well, I was going to say, not during Jewish holidays, then everyone just taking them regardless of what they actually believe. Moving on to the B-plot, skiing stuff. David and Val have an awkward but fairly cordial conversation at the Walsh house when he, Susan, and Claire show up to get Brandon and Steve for what else? A ski trip, because these fuckers are on vacation again. David somewhat pissily invites Val to come as his friend, but she pouts that it's not the same. Whatever will Val get up to while he's gone? We'll get to it. Brandon and his bright red turtleneck, who he's in the visual aids with a file named turtledick.jpg.
Meanwhile, he and his entire family could fit into David's giant, it's not even a parka, it's like, I know you guys don't watch football, but listeners, during the playoffs when it's very cold, and they drape the quarterback while he's sitting down in that giant, like, sleeping bag of a jacket with the hood.
I've seen pictures.
Wearing, except it's just the wrong size.
Yeah. So I believe I've seen a picture of Tom Brady in one of those, probably.
Yes, you have.
That asshole. Moving on. Susan and Brandon are boringly competitive about how great each are at skiing. Prepare to be even more bored by this. And at the resort, Steve is convinced that what will cheer up David is getting a leg over someone new. Oh, this is so stupid. In the pro shop, some rando approaches Claire and Susan and says the lodge lost her reservation, so could she bunk with them? A totally normal thing to ask two complete strangers. Should we pause here before we get to the clip and ask, like, what? Is this common at lodges?
Well, and then let's hear the clip,
okay,
because then I have many questions about all of it together.
Okay, fair enough. So fortunately, Susan can say that she and Claire came up with their boyfriends. This girl says they're lucky. She used to have one. And Claire asks if she wants to meet someone. And this broad says, clip five.
That's why I'm here. I mean, it's not because I know how to ski.
Okay, go ahead.
So, provided she's telling the truth about making a reservation, which I doubt, like, you went all the way up to Mammoth Mountain and P.S. This is the first time in, like, the next few episodes that they caption it. Like, it's Mammoth Mountain. Like, who cares what mountain it is?
Right.
It's B-roll of people skiing. It could be beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. No one gives a shit. They also caption San Diego, like, I'm so sure.
Right.
In the next episode. But, so, you couldn't just, like, join a dating service, personal
right.
ad, Craigslist, go yeah. to a bar with some cleavage.
Right.
This is really a lot of trouble to get some D. You're a fine-looking lady in your 20s. You don't have to work this hard. You don't.
And especially even if you're like, I've exhausted all other options. All that's left for me is going to a ski resort. Like, if you don't, first of all, you're going to be bundled up in parkas and ski pants all the time, so not looking your best or showing yourself off to your best advantage. But like, you really could hurt yourself, and it's not fun, and you're there by yourself. Like, you're just going to be wandering around the lodge, like, trying to pick guys up. I mean, just stay in your town, go to a bar, as Sarah said. It'll be a lot cheaper.
I went to Mammoth on a solo photo trip once, mm-hmm. and it was in the summer.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, there's very little skiing on the mountain when there's no snow. And
wait, I can't explain how.
So skis need snow to slide.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, there's stuff I wanted to see. There's Devil's Post pile of air and all this kind of neat stuff. But if I was trapped there in a lodge and I couldn't go anywhere because I couldn't drive, I might shoot myself. That town is so fucking boring.
Yeah, maybe she's a townie and she just is, who cares? This is all idiotic, whatever. So everything about this story makes total sense. Susan and Claire invite her for drinks later. In the lobby, Steve spots a klutzy blonde and goes over to hit on her on David's behalf. Her name is Mary. She's English and she's there alone also, implausibly. Would she like to meet their cute single friend? She would. So they invite her for drinks later too. I swear to God, I didn't think anything could be more boring than the biplane trip of eternity, but this ski off is really opening my eyes because it's so long and so dumb, and it's like not even them. They don't even bother cutting to, like, you know, close-ups of their actual faces so that we can pretend that it's really them skiing, which it clearly isn't, whatever.
Although there is one medium shot later on of Brandon in his ski goggles with the, like, headband, and then his hair is completely poofed out like Pauly D from Jersey Shore. It is glorious and horrible. It is glorable.
Oh no, they ski off course, and then it's later, the time when drinks will be had. David's solitude is about to be over in clip six.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Do you know something I don't know?
Oh, I don't know.
Does it have anything to do with David and a certain blonde?
Excuse me? As a matter of fact, it does.
Susan, tell you.
Tell me what?
About Mary.
She didn't tell me about Mary. I invited her.
Oh, invited her where?
Here.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mary. I'm glad
Claire.
You could make it.
Hey. Mary. Hey. This is David. This is Mary.
Oh, wait. This is Mary, too.
Hi, David.
Hi. Hey. It was great meeting you, too. With the storm coming and everything, I want to get a couple runs in before. Hey. So long. Dave, did. Never said he was romantic.
Suicide. Also, for all the like the joke of both of these women being named Mary, like, not that I necessarily want it to be played out over the whole episode, but it's like established. It's not even established in the first scene because we don't know. We don't learn that the first Mary is named Mary. And then it's like already dealt with as they both are in the same scene together. So like all the Three's Company potential completely robbed of this idiocy. I don't know which would be better.
Shit that, like, conversations that we should see. Mm-hmm. It's mostly in the next episode, but we just like don't see them. It's, yeah, I don't know. Shut up, show. Also, who cares? Also, like, they're going to be named Mary. They both be named like Jessica,
right?
Or Stephanie,
right? Except that doesn't work for the dumb episode title. Ugh. And the payoff of this, which is so not a payoff. Moving on. Brandon and Susan are missing all this because they are skiing where signs explicitly say they should not be. And then Susan falls and can't move her leg. They have to get out of this weather or they're going to die. Boy, that sure would be a pity. David reemerges once the Marys are gone. Claire finally starts to get concerned that Susan and Brandon haven't materialized. And Steve says the ski patrol is going out for the stragglers. Speaking of whom, Brandon has them holed up in a cave for the night since Susan won't be able to ski on that leg. And Brandon is a bitch about it in clip 7.
You should have just left me and gone for the ski patrol.
Oh, would you shut up already? There's no way I was going to leave you. But you shouldn't have skied out of bounds in the first place. It's blatantly illegal, not to mention stupid.
Oh, I won't tell if you won't.
Knowing our luck, we'll probably get rescued and then arrested.
Well, actually, California Penal Code says arrest and or $1,000 fine.
Great. Well, maybe it'll be an avalanche.
Sorry I got you into this.
This relationship where you just apologize all the time seems awesome, Susan.
Seriously.
The subject turns to what's in Susan's fanny pack, which is lip balms, lip balm, matches, and brandy in a flask, which is awesome.
I don't know what you got planned for tonight, however. Keep me out of it.
Brandon has a chocolate bar. Ugh, Brandon wins. Before they eat, he checks her leg and it's swelling up. She says at least doesn't have to deliver any babies, but he says a warm elevator sounds good right now. And he says he's going to go find firewood, and they have this exchange in clip 8.
Just give me the brandy.
No way.
Well, it's not like I'm driving anywhere.
It's a myth that alcohol is good for you when you're cold.
Yes, but if I drink enough, I won't care anymore.
Let her drink.
The Sarah D. Bunting story. Thank you and good night.
Sorry, I stepped on it. So good. And the ski patrol patrols in the lodge. Friends worry. The guy at the ski patrol desk is hilariously pessimistic about their chances in clip 9.
Well, what if they don't find him tonight? Do you think they can make it through till the morning?
Well, that depends. One or both of them might be injured. It's blowing like crazy up there. If they got in out of the wind, they have half a chance. But the temperature's going to drop way below zero at that altitude tonight. Does either one of them have any survival skills?
Well, yeah, Brandon's like a regular MacGyver.
Oh, they're going to die. Got to the cave, and probably he has started a fire. Susan is scared. Brandon says all they have to do is stay awake and keep talking. Oh, great. While they're still doing that, we cut back to which they're still doing when we cut back to them, trying to keep themselves awake, naming world capitals. Bad game for Brandon, an idiot. And then the pessimistic ski patrol guy is like, we're calling them in for the night, but just in time, someone radios in to say they found two stranded skiers. Steve is so relieved he's buying drinks. This wasn't a waste of our time at all. Everyone gets back from skiing in Los Angeles and goes straight where else? To the Peach Pit. Susan is on crutches, just a bad sprain, but Steve says that David struck gold. Wah, wah. Cut to David, flanked by the Marys and loving life and giving this plot line its quote pay quote off. Thus, clip 10.
How are you feeling now, David?
more than married.
Kill me.
I can't. We have a birthday message for Dorinda.
You're so right. The killing me can wait. Game Master Rob Hartman let us know that it's his sister Dorinda's birthday. To celebrate this grand occasion, we are listing 5 Bev Niners whose names also begin with the letter D, but to whom Dorinda is clearly superior, and why?
Number 1, Dorinda is superior to Donna because when Dorinda insists on adding stuff to a situation, it's actually funny.
Number two, Dorinda is superior to David because she wears her clothing in the correct size for her and does not waste a bunch of perfectly good orange juice washing down her meth. Not that she does meth, you know what I mean.
Number three, Dorinda is superior to Dylan because she would never let Suzanne, Kevin, and Kevin's broom stash scam her out of $8 million and because we must assume she is not the simpleton Erica to rob Dylan.
Number four, Dorinda is superior to Dead Scott because when Dorinda twirls a gun, she makes sure it's not loaded first.
Number five, Dorinda is superior to Danny Five because if she were a drug dealer, she would be a legit felonious badass and not do a bunch of weird David Faustino mind blocking.
We assume. We have not actually exhausted the list of D-named characters Dorinda is superior to on the show, so keep it right here on your podcast dial until next year. But for this year...
Happy birthday, Dorinda! And now our A-plot. Kelly, Val, and Colin get clean. Love triangulate. In an unglamorous hospital rehab and detox center, which I must mention, the establishing shot is like fourth floor detox and rehab or something. And there's this strawberry blonde curly headed woman in the waiting room. And every time we cut back to this establishing shot, she is there, including like when other people are crossing through. Like she's just always there in the same outfit in the next episode. Also
jeans, reading a magazine. Totally.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was going to be that building in Marina Del Rey that's used for every...
Oh, yeah. No.
Every hospital establishing shot from the 90s was always that.
No. It's a waiting room. Yeah. Anyway.
People in Marina Del Rey know what I'm talking about. It was that one that was on Lincoln, on which is Highway 1.
Yep.
Just at just before Ralph's. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Kelly coos over some flowers that David has brought her from everyone, but there's more to come. Clip 11.
Oh, Donna said she'd be by tomorrow to bring you her own present.
We get presents for being junky twats to our friends now? Okay.
Well,
although
this present
will be more of a punishment, as we will see.
I was going to say, this is a present with a sting. David is sorry he wasn't there for Kelly, but blames himself for pushing everyone away and 12 steps that she blames herself for pushing everyone away in 12 steps that her recovery is on her, basically. And then Colin is there also with flowers. So evidently the gang didn't invite him to chip in on theirs. No surprise. David offers to stay and provide cover, but Kelly says that she and Colin need to talk, and David reluctantly leaves, pointedly icing Colin on his way out. Kelly and Colin are awkward. Colin brags that he's 1 week clean and tells her that she could do the same, doesn't need to be in a rehab unit, but Kelly knows better, finally, and tells him that they're not good for each other and that they should end things. And Colin maybe doesn't get how breakups work? Clip 12.
I want you to know that I'm not blaming you. You know, it was a two-way street.
That's it, huh? I guess I don't have any say in this, do I? Some two-way street.
I mean, no. You got dumped. That's how it works. You don't have to both, yeah, like, turn a key like you're with nuclear launch.
Yeah. Also, obviously, you don't care that much, but anyway...
Yeah, seriously. Also, I'm not sure if it's a two-way street. Why don't you ask Ray? Kelly is sad and cries, and Colin is pissed and leaves. Jackie comes to visit Kelly, who's well enough to bitch about the hospital's food and smell. Her shrink, Dr. Browning, appears to say that Kelly is getting a roommate, but that she's going to be sleeping a lot the next few days. Dr. Browning personally put them together, and Kelly has one question in clip 13.
Well, when do I meet her? What's her name?
Well, her name's Tara Marks.
Okay. As you can imagine, I have heard that uncertainty about whether to say Tara or Tara basically my whole life. And I love that this doctor does the split the difference where she's like, her name is Tara Marks. She can't figure out which it's supposed to be. It's Tara. The trashy kind. Sorry, Tara.
It sure is. No, Tara. That's the trashy kind.
Tara finally wakes up and Kelly introduces herself. She offers water, but Tara just starts sobbing. Seems like a fun roomie. Thanks, Lowe's Dr. B. Val runs into Colin at the Peach Pit. Knowing everyone is at Mammoth, he's glad not to have to worry about getting the stink eye from any of the gangsters. Like, maybe don't go to the Peach Pit. It's the only place any of them ever goes. You never have to go here again now that Kelly dumped you. Hello?
Also, move back to New York. No one likes you and your art sucks.
Yeah, maybe he was there to visit his stupid mural. Anyway, He asks why Val didn't go, and she tells him about her breakup with David. He reports on his with Kelly, and Val invites him over to the otherwise empty Walsh house. And when he finally believes her, I guess, that none of the gangsters will be there, he accepts. But in the meantime, he gets bored and calls Val and bores us all in clip 14.
What are you doing?
I'm involved in a really cool game, actually.
See, what I do is I stare at a blank canvas and wait for an idea. Then when I can't take that any longer, I look at the clock and try to figure out how long I have until dinner. You can imagine the fun I've been having.
Thanks indeed for letting us in on it. Question mark.
Also, don't forget the part of the game where you're wearing a really stupid hat.
He's fishing for an invitation to come over now rather than later, and gets it. Despite her recent misadventures in parrot ownership, Donna's gift for Kelly is a toy parrot that records and then repeats what you said. This would be torture for the parent of a child. It's like, there really is a category of gifts for kids where it's like, I'm going to give this and really fuck over someone, like child drum set, for example, anything really noisy. This is a great example. Doesn't seem like a great idea for an addict in recovery either, or I guess for any person, but Kelly loves it.
Or for her roommate, Donna. Yeah. Stunad.
Good point. But Kelly loves it because she's dumb. She intensely thanks Donna, who's just glad that she's there. She thought she was going to lose Kelly, and it scared her. And Kelly starts to ask Donna to forgive her, but there's nothing to forgive. Donna's niceness is not cloying today. And she asks how things are going for Kelly, who reports on her new roommate in clip 15.
So far, all she's done is sleep and cry. And then she got up to see her shrink.
How old is she?
She's young. Supposedly, she's been living on the streets.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So, I heard that everyone went skiing.
Yep.
Why didn't you go?
Well, Joe hasn't really been in the mood to do anything lately. Though I did hear on TV about a treatment for the exact same heart condition Joe has.
That's great.
Yeah, but Joe doesn't think it's so great. He's afraid to get his hopes up for nothing.
Give him a break. He's probably just nervous.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Tara, this is my best friend, Donna.
Hi, Tara.
Hi. I didn't mean to intrude. I'll leave you guys alone.
No. We're just hanging out.
No, that's okay.
She's kind of shy, huh?
Yeah. I feel sorry for her, but I hope she loosens up.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, damn bird.
I hate it so much. I am now domer for having had to sit through that again. Worst.
Sorry.
Don't try to be funny, show. You suck at it.
Colin comes over to Val's with wine, way to sober, as Val is stirring white sauce. Also, it's red because he didn't know. He reminisces about when they first met at the airport on their way to their famous European teen tour. She doesn't believe that he remembers that moment and asks what she was wearing, which, by the way, it would be super weird if he did remember, and also creepy. But anyway, he submits to the test in clip 16.
Okay. Let's see. You were in a dress.
Wrong.
Okay. Wait a second. You weren't wearing a dress. You were wearing pants. Blue pants. Jeans.
You didn't look at me at all. Because if you did, you would have known I was wearing shorts. Short shorts. Cutoffs.
Well, I'm looking at you now. Doesn't that count for something?
Why start this conversation if you didn't actually remember, idiot?
Yeah. Also, wasn't the whole, like original version of the story that he didn't look at her because she was kind of chunky?
And really, like, way younger than him, too. Like, I thought he was a senior and she was a freshman or something like that.
Oh,
I mean,
whatever.
Not that freshmen don't date seniors,
so much
but
worse.
Yeah. Anyway, he thanks her for being his friend in L.A. He says it must be nice for her to have the place to herself. She says it's a little too empty, and then changes the subject to the weather in Mammoth to make this even more boring in clip 17.
You know, I heard on the radio there was a ton of snow up there.
Let's avoid that term, snow. I'm keeping away from that these days.
Good for you.
So sarcastic. I mean, she's not, but...
Good talk.
Yeah. After dinner, they actually talk about the recipe for her white sauce, but it turns into their shared status as outsiders. They have so much in common that she knows what he's thinking right now, which apparently is that he wants to make out, because that's what happens. And then it's the middle of the night, and Tara is having a noisy nightmare that ends with her yelling, "Don't touch me." Kelly tries to comfort her, but Tara is embarrassed and refuses Kelly's offer to go get the nurse. And when Tara's calmed down a little, Kelly says she's been having the same nightmare over and over, too. It's about Kurt almost raping her the night before she checked in. Okay, Tara, sweet dreams. God. The next morning, Colin calls Val and wakes her up. Rude and unacceptable, but apparently primarily a pretext to let us know that they didn't fuck. His jeans are in the visual aids with a file name. How many socks are stuffed down there? It looks like three pairs. He offers to take
her. Like, there's a pin light on it too. Like the eye just goes right to the joint.
He offers to take her for breakfast, and she becomes the second person ever to say she doesn't want to go to the peach pit. If they're starting to see each other, she wants to keep it quiet. So instead, he suggests Shutters on the Beach, which I guess means he didn't blow all his stupid bad IKEA carpet painting money. Meanwhile, in rehab, Kelly and Tara are doing pottery and getting to know each other in clip 18.
Why are we doing this? Because it's better than a lecture on codependency.
Okay. Good. Works for me.
Yeah.
I love that they can pick, though, that it's like, well, you can have a lecture on codependency or you can do some art. Like, okay.
Tara is from Colorado originally, but she ran away when she was 14. Kelly asks if she has talked to her parents since she got there. Like, presumably there was a reason she ran away. And of course, Tara hasn't. And they don't know she's there. And Kelly has to make it weird in clip 19.
Does anybody know you're here? Kelly, like I said, I ran away when I was 14. When I got out here, I tried to call my parents, collect once. They wouldn't accept the charges.
Well, maybe you should try again.
I can't. I don't even know where they are. They moved. I kept sending them postcards with my post office box on it. They never let me know where they were going. Lucky me, huh?
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
This is her just pounding the clay. Which I also made a GIF and tweeted last week with, when your marzipan owl doesn't look like the one on Pinterest. Thank you so much.
Paige Moss's line delivery is so annoying. I'm not.
Yeah, she's not a good actor, and especially doing a part like this where she's supposed to be like angry and vulnerable and troubled, she's not equal to the role at all.
No, she really is not.
Not to be the first or last to say it. Anyway, let's wrap it up with our MVP. Dr. Martin, who actually is the only person to be able to really get anything done in this episode, possibly.
God, who wisely ignored all of this and did not make an appearance in this episode, because everyone else is pretty much worthless and annoying.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Least valuable player. Donna, gifter of the damn bird to the damning.
Yes, Donna, crappy sign of the cross maker, crappy hairstyler, and manipulative daddy's girl, and also boring.
But I saw it on television.
And a virgin who can drive.
Over to our challenge. This one is the At Lynn Warner challenge. 5 times Kelly's bitch face should have gotten her beat up.
Jesus.
Start us off.
The cat butt face she pulls when she's breaking up with Colin.
Implying that a teenage runaway should make more of an effort to get in touch with the probably abusive parents who are the reason that she ran away in the first place.
Saying she hopes same runaway lightens up soon.
Trying to comfort said runaway by telling her about her own rape nightmare.
That's four. Thinking the damn bird is hysterical.
All right, that makes 5.
Next time on Again With This, Brandon meets Susan's parents, Donna meets Joel's brother, and Tara Streetchild's family. It's complicated. Your reaction to our visual aids will be simple, barfing, and you can find them and do that at previously.tv. And also follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv and this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Mary number one, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. Mary number two, my co-host, is Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And regular MacGyver, David T. Cole, is our producer. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.